All right, Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to pick up reading just right before where we left off this morning. In verse 22, we're going to start tonight, and then we're going to read down through the end of the text and look at an event that took place in Jacob's life. Now, this morning, we ended with verse 24, where he was left alone. He had, in verse 22, he sent his family over the ford Jabbok, a little body of water there, and he took them and sent them over the brook, and he was left alone in verse 24. And it says, "There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, the man that Jacob was wrestling, there's a lot of pronouns here. You got to go back and forth. You keep an eye on who you're talking about. So the man wrestling with Jacob said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel.
Amen.
There's a change taking place in Jacob's life. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. And this is what it means, for I have seen the face of God, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Now this limp that he had, it was with him the rest of his life. In fact, when Jacob is an old man, Israel is an old man, you see a common statement in regards to him, that he had a staff with him, and he leaned upon the staff. He makes that statement in several places. So the effect of this event in his life stayed with him the rest of his life. And it changed him, changed a lot of things about him, changed his name, changed his identity.
Amen.
And it changed him physically too. And it says there in verse 32, Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew that which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Tonight I want to talk to you about being alone with God changes you. Being alone with God can change your life. And God wants to do a change in all of our lives. Amen? And that change takes place as we spend time alone with Him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this great, great story about a man just like us. A man named Jacob. A man that had struggles just like we do. A man that wasn't perfect just like we're not. But a man that was spent some time alone with You. And he was blessed by You, and he was affected by You, and You changed his life. And Lord, I pray You'd help us to experience a change in our lives, a metamorphosis, just like Romans 12 talks about, to be transformed. Lord, I pray that You would do a transformation in us as we spend time alone with You, that You would change us. And Lord, that change would be with us the rest of our lives. We would never forget it. As You work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've heard many people preach over the years. I can't even count how many sermons I've heard between growing up in church my whole life, and we went to church all the time. And then, you know, going to Bible college, you hear preaching all the time. And then in being in the ministry, you hear preaching all the time. And you go to preacher's conference and you hear preaching all the time. And I can't even tell you how many sermons I've heard and or listened to, even in my car and whatever. But there's several messages I've heard men preach about a thing that God did in their life that was very monumental in their life. And it had a long-lasting effect on them. And it was a way in which God worked in their life in a unique way. And obviously what we have here with Jacob is a very unique event in his life. And it did change him, and it did stick with him. And I think we do need to have those times where we have a significant event that takes place in our relationship with God, and we're impacted forever. If you've never had one of those, I hope you get to have one of those. And it impacts you in a great, great way. But I also think that something that is just as equally as significant is the day in and day out time we spend alone with God. Where we spend time alone with God in His presence, listening to His Spirit speak to our hearts, spending time in His Word, spending time before His throne in prayer. You can call it what you want. Some people call it devotions. Some people call it quiet time. I like calling it personal worship. Whatever you want to call it, I don't really care what you call it. I just want to encourage you to do it. Amen. Because it affects your life. It changes you. You know, worship, you know, our time in the Word, the Bible talks about our time in the Word like nutrition. You know, desire the sincere mouth of the Word that you may grow thereby. And it talks about the meat of the Word and all of that. It talks about the Scripture like nutrition. Very few people are going to survive a healthy life eating one meal a week, right? And, you know, I guess you could survive eating three meals a week or four meals a week, but, you know, you're going to miss out on some nutrients and minerals and vitamins and different things like that if you're not eating well and healthy on a regular basis. And if you come to Sunday school, you know, praise the Lord for that. That's a time in the Word, studying and learning. And then morning worship. And then obviously you're here tonight at evening worship. And maybe even make it back on Wednesday night for prayer and Bible study. And so that's four times in the Word. But you know what? There's you know, 7 days in the week. And if you go from service to service without spending some time nourishing yourself in the Word, you're not going to be quite as healthy as you could be.
That's right, yeah, that's right. Very good.
And I was in a setting with a group of men, and they were all men that were, you know, professed to be saved, and some of them were even men that were, in my mind, just watching their life and hearing their talk, were men that were fairly mature in their faith, and I was giving a lesson, a devotional. And I was talking about spending time in the Word on a daily basis. And it was like a calf looking at a new gate. These men had not heard that before. They went to other churches that obviously didn't talk about that. I mean, if you've been here very long at all, you've heard me talk about that. That's something I think is significant. I think it's important. And so they were asking me questions about this, and basically I just described to them about personal worship. But I think each day we ought to take some time. I personally believe that, you know, like I said this morning in the message, the things we make a priority are important to us. And so I think, you know, the things we put at the beginning of the day, they get done, right? And I think, to me, for me and my schedule, and now everybody's schedule is not like mine, but for my schedule, getting up a little bit earlier than everybody else when the house is quiet,
amen.
That's my best time to spend time in personal worship. And it may not, that may not work for you. But it, and I, you know, I've known people that they got up like at, you know, unreasonably early hours. That is normal for George, but it's not normal for everybody else. And you know, they just were not even coherent at that time. You know, they went to work, but they weren't really thinking, you know. And you know, I encourage them, you know, you get a break at work, right? I mean, take that break and use that time. And just spend some time in the Word and in prayer and meditating and thinking about the things of God. Some people, they're night owls. And, you know, do not talk to them in the morning, you know, until about noon. You know, but, you know, they're just burning strong at midnight, you know. And maybe that time is better for them. It doesn't really matter when you do it. I think the important thing is to do it.
Amen.
And make it regular in your schedule. And so that's the first point of the message. We need to spend time alone with God. And that's what we see in the life of Jacob here. He sends his family over. It's nighttime and he's alone. And he says he met with God. Now it says there was a man that was wrestling with him. And then it says at the end, I have seen God face to face and my life is preserved. So I'm kind of thinking God was involved in this wrestling match with Jacob. Was he the one that he was wrestling with? You can argue that all you want. Was it an angel? Was it the Lord? Was it what? Whatever. I don't know, but God was there, okay?
Amen.
He said God was with him face to face. So however you want to put God into that picture, I'm not going to argue that point. To me, that's not the significant part of this. The significant part of this is he had a meeting with God, and it changed his life. And that's what we need to have, a meeting with God that changes our life. And so spending time alone with God is something that we need. We need to spend time with God on a daily basis. Now, obviously, as I mentioned, this was a once-in-a-lifetime event. And there's been a few times in my life where I had some major transforming work that God did in my life. And I'll never forget those events. I mean, they're as clear in my mind as when I was saved. And God did some very strategic changing in my life. And that's what we have here with Jacob, obviously. This is a very life-altering, a once-in-a-lifetime event, meeting God face-to-face. But you know, we need to spend some time alone with God on a daily basis. And maybe that's something that you're not used to, but the bottom line is, this is what it needs to look like, okay? It needs to involve this book. He's talking to God here. He's interacting with God here, okay? And we listen to God one way through His Word. We listen to God also through His Spirit speaking to our hearts. But this book needs to be part of that time we spend along with God.
Amen.
And prayer. Obviously, us talking to God is prayer, correct? And we see Jacob here communicating to God. And he's saying, bless me. I need your blessing. I'm not going to let go of you until you bless me. And so we have listening to God. We have talking to God. And I think that for us today, obviously this is different for Jacob here, but for us today, I think we need to learn to get in tune with the Spirit of God in this time alone with God. I think there's a lot of Christians that we talk about being filled with the Spirit. We talk about being led by the Spirit. We talk about all those things, but they don't really do that. And quiet time or personal worship is a great time to do that. To get your heart in tune with the Spirit. You know, somebody once said it's sort of like radio. You know, there's radio waves, there's TV waves, there's all kinds of communication waves going through this room, all over the place, all over this valley. But you have to have the right instrument and the right frequency to tune into them. Correct? And it's similar with the Spirit of God. We have to make ourselves in tune with Him. That means getting the distractions of the world out of our attention. and getting our focus on Him. And just sometimes it means just being quiet before Him, listening for that still small voice. But just, you know, trying to pay attention to the Holy Spirit teach you from His Word. Trying to make yourself sensitive to the Spirit of God so He can guide you through your day. Getting yourself tuned up for the day. That's a good way to put it. In tune with the Spirit of God. So He can lead you. So He can fill you. So you can experience His power. So you can be a tool in God's hands. Getting in tune with Him. And daily, we need His power in us, working in us, so we can use that power to do the will of God in our lives. And one of the things we see taking place in Jacob's life is God is doing a work in here that's going to affect him for his future, and it's changing him. He's a different guy later on than we saw early in the text. And this is a pivotal moment in that event. You know, in Proverbs chapter 8, would you turn to Proverbs chapter 8? There's a scripture there I want to look at. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. Now, Proverbs 8 is talking about the wisdom of God. It starts off that in verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? So we're talking about God's wisdom. And the whole thing talks about God's wisdom. I want to key in on the end of this in verse 32. It says, now therefore hearken unto me. Okay, me is God's wisdom. Hearken unto me, God's wisdom, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Amen. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that, listen to this, blessed is the man that heareth me. Heareth the wisdom of God. What is the source of the wisdom of God today? God, the Bible says in Proverbs, wisdom comes from the mouth of God. What is God's mouthpiece today? This book. So it says, blessed is the man that heareth me. If we're going to hear the wisdom of God, we got to be in the Word of God. So, blessed is the man that heareth me. Look at this in the next phrase. Watching daily at my gates. Somebody says, the Bible doesn't say we need to read it every day. Well, that one's a pretty good argument for it right there. Blessed is the man that watches to hear me daily at my gates. What's the gate of God's wisdom? What's the mouth of God's wisdom? It's right here. Daily, we need to be in this book. In fact, the discipleship material that we use, they changed it. They've revamped it all. It's called Continue Now, but it used to be called Daily in the Word. And literally, that's what we need to do, is spend time daily in the Word. But it says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all they that hate me love death. You know, if you love God's Word, it's going to be a blessing to you. Amen?
Amen.
You sin against God's Word, it's going to be a problem for you. Amen? Daily, we need to be in His Word. So we need to spend time with God alone daily. And this time alone with God, we need that time with God to grow in Him. One of the things that I see taking place in the life of Jacob here in this event is a great growing experience. He's being changed. And I think a significant part of that is his name. Abram's name was changed to Abraham, correct?
Amen. Yeah.
And it was a significant change in his life. Jacob's name, no longer trickster. That's what he was known. That was his identity. That was what his name meant, supplanter, trickster. God says, you're no longer a trickster. I've been working on you for a while. I want to change your identity. You're going to now be called Israel.
Amen.
Blessed of the Lord. See, when we spend time alone with God, it grows us in Him. It strengthens our faith in Him. As we learn to listen to Him, as we learn to share our heart with Him, as we build intimacy with Him, it strengthens us in Him. See, it gives not only gives us strength, but it grows us in strength. It also grows us in personal holiness. You know, when I'm out here in say if there was a spotlight here, and I was over here, the spotlight would have some effect illuminating me over here, but if I was here, it would illuminate me more. Correct? And the same thing's true with the light of God's Word and the light of His righteousness. The closer we get to Him, the more it exposes us and reveals us and shows us things that need to be, He wants to get out. The Bible talks about this in Colossians and Ephesians. It says, put off the old man and put on the new man. Amen. It's talking about progressive sanctification. We were talking about that this morning. But my time alone with God draws me closer to His righteousness. And as I draw closer to His righteousness, it shows more of the impurities in me that need to get out. The old man that needs to get out. And I need to replace that with more of the new man, which is, the Bible says in Ephesians 4, created in righteousness and true holiness. It looks more like the Lord. Amen? So as I'm growing in Him, I'm growing in personal holiness. Every one of us, we need to see things that God is putting off of our life and God is adding into our lives. Things that of the world that He's putting off and things of holiness He's putting on. Amen. That's part of our maturing as a Christian, is becoming more Christ-like and less world-like. Less worldly, more Christ-like. Amen. That's called personal growth. That's called personal holiness. And so our time alone with God helps us to grow in Him, helps us to grow in His strength, helps us to grow in His holiness, and helps us to grow in intimacy with Him. You know, it's just like anybody else. The more time you spend with somebody, the closer you feel to them. You know, we just got back from Florida, and I've got a couple of high school buddies there that are still there, still in the same church and still serving the Lord, still doing great. It is an amen. It was a blessing to see how many of them are still there. The whole families are there. And we got together, and you know, we hadn't been together for years. I mean, one of them, I mean, none of those guys I've seen for over 8 years. But, you know, we got to spend some time together. But it's not like when we were in high school and we saw each other every day. But it was nice to get together, right? You know, there's a lot of people that they know God and they know about God, but they're not really intimate with God because they don't interact with God on a regular basis. And you know, that's what we need. We need intimacy with God. And it's our time alone with Him that's going to affect us that way. You know, as I mentioned this morning, we see Jacob in this chapter vacillating back and forth between trusting God and trusting himself, between faith and fear. But the longer we see him moving in this direction, the greater the changes are becoming. And it's due to intimacy with God. He is being affected by God in this event in a great way. And it's changing him. You know, I have a scar on my finger. And every once in a while, I look at that scar and it reminds me of a time in my life where I wasn't walking with God. And I started walking with God soon after that happened. Amen. But it'll be with me the rest of my life. And I every time I look at it, it reminds me of that event. Every time Israel, was limping and the walk got a little hard and, you know, going a little further, the distance that he used to go took a little more work, I'm sure that his mind went back to this event. Every time that he was a little weary and he had to lean on his staff because his leg just wasn't quite as strong as it used to be, I'm sure that his mind went back to this event. Let me ask you a question. Are there events that your mind goes back to because they affected you in a great way with God? Obviously, salvation. You know, I'll never forget the day I got saved. mean, it was almost 50 years ago, but I'll never forget it. I remember it like it was yet. I remember details of it. I won't forget it. It changed me.
Amen.
The night God called me to the ministry. I'll never forget that night. The night God spoke to my heart and convicted me about my life and got me serious about my faith and walking with Him. I won't forget that day. The day that God made it clear that it was time to leave Indiana and start a new ministry. I won't forget that day.
We won't either.
Amen. But the bottom line I'm saying is, you need to have some events in your life that affected you in a great way that your mind goes back to. I met with God there, and it changed me. And that's what happens with Jacob here. This event grew him in a great way. And we need time with God to know Him and His will. And Jacob is getting to know God in a different way than he ever knew Him before because of this event. Time relating with others helps us to know them better, just like time relating to God helps us to know Him better. There's amazing things you can learn just by listening to people interact with other people.
That's right.
We can learn a lot just listening to God. Just listening to His Word, reading His Word, or listening to His Word read, or learning to listen to His Spirit speak to our hearts. See, time with God helps us to know Him more personally and intimately. Knowing God more personally helps us to know what He wants for us better. And we all need that.
Amen.
And even though we know Him and we know His will, it does not mean that we will do it, but we should. And and that's one of the things I talked about at the close of the message this morning. Even though Jacob had this event here, even though Jacob knew God's will for his life, go back home, he took a pit stop in Shechem, right? Bad things happened to him in Shechem. To his family. See, knowing the will of God is not always the guarantee of doing the will of God. Knowing God is not always the guarantee of submitting to God. Like I said last Sunday night in the message, there's got to be an action. And even this morning in the message, there's got to be some action. You got to make a decision. Then point number two, we need to work through struggles with God. And that's what we have here. We have Jacob struggling with God. We have him literally wrestling with God. It affected him. And sometimes we wrestle with God about life. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with God about life, things that He allows to happen. I remember many years ago, after we were here for a while, I made some friends in the ministry here. And two of the most godly preachers I knew, both of them great soul winners, just wonderful Christian men, totally different in their ministry style and everything. I mean, totally different. One was a city guy and one was a country guy. And they both went home to be with the Lord just in a short period of time. And boy, did I fuss at God about that. God, there are so many other guys that you could take out of here and it would not... It would be an improvement. I mean, there's pastors I know that if you took them out, it wouldn't change anything. It'd probably make it better. Why these two guys? These guys are awesome. They are fantastic. I was frustrated by that. And it wasn't just because they were my friends and I miss them and all that. I'm talking about the kingdom here. These guys were soldiers. Of the first class. They were best. Faithful. I mean, bar none. They were the cream of the crop. And I struggled with that. It was frustrating to me. But you know, the bottom line is, God's in charge of all that. Amen?
Amen, that's right.
And they were in their reward. It was better for them where they were. Amen? It frustrated me, but it was better for them, right? But sometimes we struggle with God just about life. Things that we don't see as just. Why does a good guy suffer and a bad guy, it looks like life is going great for him? Anybody struggle with that? Sometimes we wrestle with God because of life. We struggle with His will for our life. We struggle with His answers to our prayers. We may even struggle with things that He allows to happen on earth. But when we struggle with God and when we wrestle with God, we don't need to let go of God. There's a lot of people, when they struggle with God, they let go of God and they turn away from God, and that's always a bad deal. That never works out well. One thing I like about Jacob here is his tenacity, perseverance, stubbornness in a positive direction. That's what perseverance is. It's just the good side of stubbornness. We often emulate the bad side of stubbornness, but perseverance is the positive side. And that's what I see here. He's struggling with God and he's hanging on. He's not letting go. When you struggle with the Lord about things in life, don't let go of Him. Let Him help you work through that. That's one of the things I learned from Jacob here. He didn't let go. He said, God, I need to hear from You. I need Your blessing. I need Your help with this matter I'm struggling with. See, when we wrestle with God, we should not give up on God. That's what a lot of people do. They just give up on God. They don't like what He did, and they just give up on God. My friend, God's God. And we've got to, I mentioned it in a sermon just, you know, a couple of months ago. We've got to be okay with God being God.
Amen.
And God being God means that He doesn't answer us, we answer to Him.
Yeah. Preach it.
And we should not give up on God. See, God wants us to be persistent in things that are important to us. God wants us to persevere in matters that truly matter to us. And this was something that was significant to Jacob, and it mattered to him. He wanted God to bless him. He wanted God to work in his life, and he wasn't going to let go. And God wants us to make sure what we want from Him is really a priority to us. And we see some examples of that in Scripture. In the book of Luke, we see the story about the neighbor that came to his friend and knocked on his door at night, and he was in bed with his family, and he wasn't going to get up, but because he kept on knocking, he got up because he kept on bugging him. And sometimes God waits for to answer our prayer because He wants to see how important it really is to us. We need to persevere.
Amen.
It's the prayer of importunity. Because of his importunity, he gets up. Because of his continual asking, he got up. But you know, there's a statement in James. And it talks about in James 5 and verse 13, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs, psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Then it says this in verse 16. "Confess your faults one to another, pray for one another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much."
Amen.
Effectual fervent prayer. Effectual means that it is continual. It is causing an effect. It is doing the job. Fervent means with passion, with perseverance, with seriousness. This is a priority. This is important. I'm not stopping. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up until I get an answer. And that's what I see with Jacob here. This was important to him, and he was not giving up until he got an answer from God. See, when we wrestle with God, we need to learn from Him. And Jacob learned some things here. One of the things he learned is, I want to change your identity. Guess what?
Amen.
God wants to change our identity. He wants us to be identified as His children. He wants us to be identified as His growing children. He wants us to be identified as His lighthouses. He wants to change our identity. There's a lot of people, before you were saved, you were identified by a lot of terrible things. But you know what? When you got saved, all that should have changed. Amen?
That's right.
Your identity changed. But even there's a lot of Christians, God wants to keep changing some things and keep changing how people see you and keep changing what people think about when they think about you. He wants to change us. And we see Jacob being changed here. He's learning from the Lord. See, we need to learn how much we need the Lord. Jacob is not letting go of God because he really needed God. He really wanted God in his life.
Amen.
It's important to him. And we need to make the Lord a priority in our lives.
Oh boy.
And that time alone with him, that needs to be a priority for us. We need to learn how desperately we need his blessing on our life. And when I see Jacob here, I see a man desperate for the blessing of God. He's not just passive about this. He's passionate about this. There's way too many Christians passive about their faith. God wants us to be passionate about our faith. And that's what I see here with Jacob. He is passionate about this. He is not passive. He is fully engaged. There's too many Christians, they are not fully engaged. They come to church, they're not fully engaged. They read their Bible, they're not fully engaged. They're not fully engaged. This man is fully engaged in this event. Amen. There's nothing more important to him than this right here, right now. He is fully committed to this. We need to realize how desperate we are of God's blessing. That's something Jacob's learning here. And here's another thing I think Jacob learned here, and we need to learn in our time alone with God, is we need to learn how dependent we are upon him for our life. And I'm kind of thinking, I don't know the mind of God, and this is just umbrology, okay? This is my opinion. You're welcome to yours. But I'm kind of thinking that may have something to do with that limp he had. That sinew that was shrunk in his hip, that made it not work quite the right way. It kind of made it real to Jacob, Israel. He was dependent on God.
Amen.
He wasn't quite as strong as he used to be. It was clear to him. It was physically, literally evident to him. He needed God. Now, God can get our attention that way if we make it have to be that way. But you know what? He can do it a whole lot easier if we just cooperate with him. Amen?
Amen.
We need to learn we're dependent on him. Then the last thing is, we need to let God determine our identity. I mentioned that earlier, but we need to let God determine our identity. See, in this wrestling here with this with Jacob, the one of the things that the man he was wrestling with said, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." And the answer back was, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." I'm changing your name. I'm changing your identity. And you know, our identity has a whole lot to do with our reputation.
Oh boy.
And what people think of when they think of you. What your name means to other people. Now, I don't think we need to be people pleasers. That's not what I'm saying. But I do think we need to build a good testimony. We need to have a good reputation. The Bible says in Proverbs that a good name is more valuable than riches.
Yes.
So we need to have a good name. We need to have a good identity. And I mentioned in my Sunday school class today, we need to let God determine our identity. It's not about our job. That's what we do. That's not who we are. Who we are needs to be greater than our job. It needs to be greater than the roles we have in life. Me being a pastor is not my identity. That's my role I serve in, I function in. That's not my identity. The number one thing that needs to be my identification, I'm a child of God.
Amen.
That ought to be number one. And when people think of Franklin Umber, one of the things I hope they think of is there's a child of God. I hope it's that evident to them. But God, we need God to help us establish our identity and determine our identity and help us build our reputation, our testimony, what we're known as. Our identity is who we truly are. As I mentioned, a child of God, a servant of the Lord, a tool in God's hands. That should be who we are. That's truly who we are. An eternal soul that's headed to eternity. That's truly who we are. For everybody, it's the same, right?
Right.
That doesn't change. Our roles in life change. Our jobs change. Our economic status changes. But who we truly are never changes. Doesn't matter who you see in the course of your week this week, everybody you see is an eternal soul headed into eternity. That's really who they are. And if they're not a child of God headed to heaven, we need to help reach them with that. Amen. So that can be their new identity. See, our identity needs to be blessed. And that's one of the things we see here. Jacob says in verse 29, it says, Jacob asked him, and he said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed him there.
Amen.
You know, Jacob, Israel, is blessed here by the God. By God. You know, it's always better to be blessed by God and not cursed by God.
Oh, boy. That's right. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And in being Israel here, Jacob is the continuance of that line of God's blessing to the earth. Remember when God promised to Abraham, in you shall all the nations of the world be blessed?
Right.
This line of blessing is through Jacob right here. And he's not only blessed of God instead of cursed of God, he is blessed of God to be a blessing to others. And that's what we need to do. We need to take those blessings from God and we need to be a blessing to others. Not have the focus on ourselves so much. And blessing, and here's another thing about blessing. Our identity needs to be blessed. Not only blessed of God, not only blessing others through the blessing of God, but how about this? How about being a blessing to God? How about that for an identity? Being a blessing to God. That's a really good identity, isn't it? Let your identity be a blessing. Not only being blessed of God, not only blessing others with the blessings of God, but being a blessing to God too. That's a good identity. Spend some time alone with God this week. Let God use that time alone to change you. And as you spend time alone with God, let Him help you, help determine your identity and how He wants to use you for His glory. To bless others and to bring Him glory. We sang the song, "To God Be the Glory." That's really what it's all about, amen? Us bringing glory to God. You know what? That's what salvation's all about. Because sin separates us from God and enables us from bringing glory to God. But salvation and sanctification makes it possible for us to bring glory to God again. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So let's do that this week.
Amen.
Let's spend some time with God and let it change us to be a greater blessing to God. Let's pray.